We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
You know them from the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Kurt Doggy,
Ken, great radio voice.
Or the morning show before that.
Curtis and Ken, I love those guys very much.
And the Stooge.
And you definitely hate one of them.
You spoiled rich kids, Curtis.
At least.
Ken is a wet mop.
It's the Ken and Curtis Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Good weekend.
It is a good weekend. This is a very good weekend. Weather is busting out there. Red awesome. Sox, Fenway tomorrow, 4:07. Will that be a better atmosphere than Tuesday, or is that impossible?
It'll
it's not
be
a game seven-ish feel
well,
like that.
Well, there's just an element to the Yankees' existence that creates another level for fans at Fenway, but I do believe it's going to be it'll be rocking. It'll be a great afternoon. 1 o'clock, Pats, Texans, 4 o'clock, head across the street going to Fenway. It's great to have October baseball back.
Marathon finish line is painted, ready to go. They're starting to set all that stuff up. We'll be at Capitol Grill on Monday with the Greg Hill Show.
And Greg is just starting. He'll finish around 6 on Monday.
All right, a couple calls on the 4th and 3. We're back to last week's 4th and 3 analysis.
Can we do 4th and 2 as well?
4th and 3, should the Patriots have gone for it on 4th and 3? David in the car.
Hey, guys, thank you for taking the call. Great show as always. I think you guys do a great job on the weekend, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks,
now, here's my thing. I know we can't seem to stop talking about Belichick and Brady because it's going to be like this for a long time until the Patriots start winning, especially home games. They should have gone four on 4 and 3. Brady, you give him 55 seconds like there was, roughly 55, maybe it would have been 51 after that, after the kick, whatever. But what I'm trying to say is that you have a quarterback who outplayed Brady that game. No questions asked. Anybody you ask, he outplayed Brady that game.
That's true.
You have 3 yards to get better yardage to have a better chance at a field goal. Still, you're probably going to have to go for a field goal, take a shot at the end zone. What do you got to lose, okay? This is the problem with what they're doing with this kid, Mac. They're not letting him take long shots. I know he had an interception on that game. We can't overlook that. But if that doesn't mean you don't trust him to take a shot. But regardless, you're 4 and 3. And you decide to go for a 56-yard field goal. So he was hitting them the 58 before game. There was no – the rain wasn't there. The weather wasn't what it was during the game. It's not the same.
But how many kicks in a row, David, had he made? This guy made, what, a franchise record, like 40 kicks straight?
That's the problem.
Not over 50, Ken.
I think not over 50, exactly, Curtis. Now, the thing is, we get hung up a while. He's made so many kicks in a row. Well, is that percentage that he's not going to make, especially when you're – bad weather, well over 50. You know, there's more of a chance you're not going to make it that you will. So I think there was a better chance for them to make the 4 and 3. I really do.
I agree.
Yeah, wrong.
And by the way, Texas, for the 15th time, is officially back. They're about to go up 14-0 in the first 2 minutes of the Red River Shootout.
Wow, but that. Number 6, Oklahoma on the ropes. There it is, 14-0.
What a great weekend. College football today, tomorrow, 1 o'clock Pats, 4 o'clock Sox. And then 8 o'clock, you got a good Sunday night game, Bills and Chiefs.
The last two passes by Brady before the missed field goal were incompletions, 2nd and 8, incomplete to Antonio Brown, 3rd and 8, incomplete to Antonio Brown.
Right. Both. So he's neither of those throws were on Brady, if you actually watch the game. Those were drops by Antonio Brown.
Okay, well, either way, the passing game was not in sync. It was not working.
Good band.
Mac had no running game. So they had just tried the 3rd and 3, the middle of the pass to Jacoby. Levante David broke it up.
I mean, did you see the ball hit the hands of Antonio Brown in the end zone?
Yep.
Okay.
I did.
They did live in the red zone basically the second half of the game.
Yep.
They just couldn't punch it in.
All they needed was a field goal in the red zone, Nick. I think they can do that, right?
But your options in that moment are, I got a great kicker, right? I love Folk. He never misses for me. I got a coin flip to take a lead, and okay, there's a chance Brady comes down. I admit, chance Brady comes down and kicks the field goal. But under a minute to go, I love my defense right now. They're doing a great job on the receivers. This is a tough game for Brady to pull out.
Let's just—I hear what you're saying, but just listen to this. If they kick, if they get the kick, and it's 6 inches to the right, and it's good, right?
Yep.
And Tom goes down the field. They kick a field goal and win. The next day, everybody is saying, "How could Bill, who had a front row seat for 20 years, at Tom Brady doing this to the Steelers and you name the Bills, you name the team every year, give him the ball back instead of going for it on fourth and three and bleeding the clock to the point that they would either win or lose on their field goal. I mean, that would have been the conversation nationwide.
Go to Greg in the car. Hi, Greg.
I got a couple points I want to bring up. I think number one, personally, I think it was the right call to, you know, kick the field goal. I think if Nick Folk was healthy, he would have made it. But number two, you can't really go for it because you have no run game, and they're going to play pass defense. And the last time they passed, it got broken up, like you said, by Levante David. But number three, it's a lose-lose situation because you go for it, you don't get it, and you turn the ball over, game over, and everyone's saying, oh, why didn't we go for it? This one, and then if you make the kick, and then you make the kick, and you hit it, and then you lose the game, it's, you're in the situation like Curtis just brought up. How do you not realize that you just gave the ball back to Tom Brady?
Yeah, I just think it was the right call. But, hey, in the end, in the grand scheme of it, it's going to go down as, I guess, a Brady makes Belichick look bad again game.
What was the worst decision this week? Bill not going for it on fourth and three, or my depends joke?
Your depends joke by far. That set Danny off.
By the way,
Brady, I didn't even see this. I'm just looking because I was looking at the recap. Brady now is one win shy of Vinatieri for the most all time, so he's going to pass that all-time wins Marcus coming up this week, too.
Oh, and there's another number. I think if he has two more touchdowns and no interceptions, he will have 400 more touchdowns and interceptions in his career, which is just,
Who do they play tomorrow?
They have the Miami Dolphins tomorrow.
Oh, that's right, Dolphins. Right. Dolphins fan.
But it's, so why do you root against Tom every week?
Well, now they've just become the enemy. I mean, the whole city of Tampa, aren't you just tired of that city? Don't you just root for some misery for them right now? They are rolling.
I have my seatbelt on, and I am enjoying the ride that is Tom Brady, however long it lasts.
All right, 617-779-7937. Trending coming up, and Perrault and Bradfo have live BP at 4 o'clock today. Fitzy and Mego are in at 1 o'clock. They'll be continuing this coverage. Fitzy did a good job yesterday with the MFers, as he always does. Fitzy has the intel on the O-line. Not good.
I really am interested about the betting side of this, because it is... I do feel like that there is still this sort of shine that comes with being the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that exists in large part because of Bill and what he's built here. And you're coming off of a Sunday night game that's perceived as a victory across the country because they held Brady in check and it was a 1-2-point game and all that. So people view the Patriots as a good team right now. But I don't think that matches really who they are in terms of the talent they have currently. I think they're on the right track. I think they have their quarterback, all of that.
Do you buy McCourty's excuse that they have too many new guys? He said that Friday, and I thought, that's, you know, it's an excuse, but it's a good one.
But I think, like, Mac had his best game of the year, and the Bucs had their worst game of the year, and it was really close. So I feel like this 8-point margin or 8-point line is just insane.
Oh, well, I would agree. I would take the points.
Like, how could that be the case if you're traveling on the road, rookie quarterbacks on the road, I'm sure do not fare well for the most part.
But it's just one of those things, when you go to the window with cash and you're betting it on the Houston Texans,
right,
and Davis Mills.
You're taking David Culley over Bill Belichick.
Right, and you're like, yeah, we'll give you 9. I'm like, yeah, but I'm still giving you $100 here. Why am I doing this?
It is fascinating because my guess is that it's a pick 'em in terms of, like, it's a toss-up. Maybe you give 3 points because it's Bill and all that. But if you have... He's already been getting killed.
Go to New Hampshire. Bet the game. Bet it big.
I'm done with
a big trust fund. You'll come back to you at some point. Hopefully not soon. But
Jesus. I have enough vices that I fail that I do not want to add to them. But I really am. It's because if they have one offensive lineman, when this offensive line has been healthy, he's been getting destroyed.
I know. But Trent Brown is so key. As Skarnecki had told us a couple weeks ago. Anyway,
one series from him the entire season.
Yeah, what a bust. Time to get to what is trending now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Curtis, you mentioned the London game. There's reports of a Germany game next year. Rap Sheet is talking about this. They're going to add another international game for the NFL. We didn't really talk about earlier in the week the decision to go to Monday night to expand the playoff weekend, the wild card weekend, which is one of the great weekends in sports.
Excellent
weekend. Not as good as the divisional round weekend because those games are always better.
Because you get the divisional rounds, great. Followed, I would go divisional, wild card, championship Sunday, then Super Bowl.
But Monday night, that is an odd call for the NFL. It's first of all, it's a distinct disadvantage for the team that's got to play Monday and then go and win on a short week and come back and play the weekend. So teams are going to bitch about that a lot. Do you like that?
I hate it. I know that I'm more conservative about many things, but like I know the NFL is king by a wide margin, and they are definitely benefiting ratings-wise this year from the legalization of sports betting across the country. Ratings are up between 10 and 20% depending on who you read. But there is a point, as Mark Cuban alluded to a while ago.
One of your favorites, Mark Cuban. You always quote him.
God, he is whatever. He's intelligent when it comes to sports. I'll leave it at that. Mm-hmm. Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered when it comes to the NFL. And I think that this is a decision that is starting, you know, we're at the sort of inverted U here. We're starting down the other side when we're doing Monday night playoff games. And I know you hate it when I bring it up, but I lived in England in the late 90s, and football will never resonate there. It's fine. It's on Sky Sports, one of the TV channels down there. There's about 500,000 expatriate Americans that live in the London area, so they have
a game here and there.
Absolutely. And the people that go to the game are Americans that are living abroad, either in England or the rest of Europe. They fly there. It's a lot cheaper than flying back home to go to a game. And we're giving them the absolute garbage with Falcons, Jets. I mean, are you really trying to...
It seems like every year they do get the worst. They either get Jacksonville or they get the Jets or the Falcons. Like, they just rotate those three teams.
Right. They can strong-arm teams because I'm sure they get a little boost in revenue from going over there, but they always get... I mean, I remember the Patriots used to play... They played the Rams like a decade ago in London, and it was, you know, no contest. But I really think the NFL has to be careful here at some point. Like, why are you fixing something that doesn't need to be changed? I don't understand it.
By the way, the predictions are in from the Houston Chronicle. Could be a big Boston v. Houston week if the Astros and Red Sox meet up. This could set the tone for the week there, by the
way. Well, this is wrapping up a big Boston-Tampa.
I know. Transition from Tampa to Houston. On to Houston. But four writers for the Houston Chronicle have all picked the Patriots to win the game. All pretty similar scores, 20-13, 23-10, 24-10, 24-16.
They're picking Houston 24-10?
No, they're picking Patriots over Texans.
Oh, okay.
Most of them just ripping Davis Mills and all their analysis. This guy, Jerome Solomon, columnist. Patriots offense is bad, but almost as bad as the Texans, but their rookie quarterback is nowhere near as bad as the Texans is. No way Belichick's Patriots fall to 1-4 by losing to the bad Texans with Davis Mills at quarterback.
He sucks.
I listened to Seth Payne, I believe that's his name, on with Gresham Keefe yesterday, given the Houston perspective, and he was having a really hard time trying to say that this is going to be a game. So, I mean, listen, the Texans are bad. They're bad. They might be all-time bad without Deshaun Watson.
But they did win this game last year. Federer Fitzy was talking about this yesterday. He's going to join us at 12:45, by the way. Remember, you lost to Houston last year.
But that game, I just looked back through Deshaun Watson's performance last year. And in that game, he had a passer rating of 121.9, two passing touchdowns, one rushing. And his stats, he's 24. And listen, he seems like a total dirtbag. So this is not talking about any of the stuff off the field. But on the field, 24, he had 33 touchdowns, seven interceptions, for a rating of 112.4, and that's on a team that basically was raided by Bill O'Brien. I mean, he was almost single-handedly winning that game. That might have been the best performance by a quarterback against the Patriots last season.
Patriots went up 7-0 in that game. They had a lead 10-7 in that game. 14-10 Houston at the half. Watson had the touchdown run at the end of the half. It was an awesome run. He took a hit and bowled it right over Devin McCourty. And I think that was the score at the half. Right. So it's not Deshaun Watson. That's all the difference.
Speaking of going back to something that we talked about earlier.
You had Cam. Good.
Devin McCourty, you think you could maybe restructure him a little bit to free up $1.2 million, given all the money he's been making?
Well, this is the last year of his contract.
I'm just saying that there's a lot of people on that team that are making a lot of money that are not playing very much.
Maybe
very
Judon
well.
Would have been the guy to do it. Like, if there's anybody that's played well that you trust, give right. him more money in a bonus now and, you know, whatever. So
I just refuse to believe that the Gilmore deal was between them getting or not being able to sign Jamie Collins. I think that the Schefter leak was definitely, you agree, was the Patriots first and foremost getting the word out that if you want to trade for him, you have to do it by 4 today.
Well, the Carolina GM said that. That's the biggest stunner of the whole thing. He had a press conference and he said, we found out about it when we read it in the media.
Right, because he'd only called his people. He has become more and more insulated with who he trusts and who he talks to, and that has been at the detriment of the team in several cases. Jimmy Garoppolo.
But unless he knew that we're going to do this and then teams will call us, so it saves us a step.
Right, but the Schefter report, which had the $50,000 in cap space in it, was a team-friendly report.
Okay, but they can't lie about that. It's true.
No, I heard several people say that it was not $50,000 against the cap.
Okay, what did they say it was?
It was over-dramatized for effect by Adam Schefter. Yes.
I don't know. Everybody has their own people these days. You can't get any straight news.
I don't have
any
people.
Even in football.
Just me, baby.
Yeah, right. Anti-Belichick.
Bill and he answers my questions more than anybody else's.
That's true. How do you think and by the way, this past week with Bill, not very good, but could have been worse.
When that game ended, you were mad because you couldn't dunk on me, and we were all kind of like, it's going to be a really early morning after he was there late.
But it was a moral victory Monday. I think even Bill felt that a little bit. Like, he was not embarrassed.
I really think he respects Greg Courtney and Wiggy. I think that there's an understanding there that hasn't existed in the past, where it's not adversarial just to be adversarial.
617-779-7937. Texters, they won with Watson, and the tight ends destroyed the Patriots last year. 207 texter, no way the Patriots score 24 tomorrow. That's true.
That's a good question. What's the over-under?
Score 24.
It's not at the Caesars, whatever place I was just looking at. The over-under's got to be, what, 42? Low, right?
I would take the under. Take the Texans in the under. Although I haven't actually watched Davis Mills. He must be awful, right?
I can't for tell you. When I watch Red Zone, I don't think I've ever seen the Texans offense.
39 is the over-under. It's the lowest of the week.
39? When was the last time you saw a regular season game under 40? Holy cow.
Who are the announcers for this?
I think
it's got to be the F team.
I think it's Wally Funk and Bezos' brother.
Wally Funk.
But this is going to be, by the way, I know this, I don't, whatever. The Patriots last week, the Super Bowl came to town with Tom and everybody was there. Like, you're going to be Spiro Dietis-ing it up the rest of the year.
I think it is Spiro Dietis.
Oh, he's awful. And Archuleta, God, that is a horrible team.
Davis Mills stats this year.
Mutt loves Spiro Dietis.
Completion percentage, 57%. 2 touchdowns, 5 picks. He's been sacked 8 times. His quarterback rating, his pass rating is 50. Brandon Cooks by far their top receiver. 28 catches on 39 targets. So J.C. Jackson will just take him away.
So this is really the Z team that we're getting. I think it's the lowest rung of CBS NFL broadcast.
There's no doubt about that.
When was the last time the Patriots were on the lowest? We're having Spiro Dietis.
It feels like a preseason game. I can't remember the last week in sports radio where there's been less talk about a Pats game than this week.
Oh, the game this Sunday.
Yeah, the one coming up this Sunday.
Well, that's because it was such a big game. I mean, the game last Sunday had, not only was it Brady and all that, there was a lot to sort of decipher, breakdown, and sort of second guess in that game.
It's Catalan and Lofton tomorrow. It's not Dietis.
Oh, that might even be below Dietis. Catalan and Kenny Lofton?
The only guy on the defense I know is Whitney Mercilus. He does have 3 sacks this year. So that could Whitney Mercilus could win this game for them.
Catalan with a C?
Yeah. He's not bad. He's okay.
All right. Let's see who the whole where this ranks in the rung of. Oh man, this isn't what I'm looking for. So we have Spiro Ditas and Jay Feely.
What's the worst team? Ditas and Feely, or
this isn't ranking it. Mike
Catalan. I'm sure they don't rank it that.
Oh no, it's higher rated because it's got three people. So it has Catalan.
Oh, they got a sign
Lofton, and Sheree Burris.
Great.
When Sheree's around, you know you got a big game.
Makes all the difference.
Yeah, Spiro Ditas just does the game by himself from his house.
Fitzy is our Sheree Burris. He's going to join us next for the crossover. And he's got intel on the O-line, so we'll let him speak for who's going to be in and out tomorrow. That's next.
More the guys. Ken and Curtis. The Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Sports talk stays hot from 1 to 4 with Fitzy and Mego. Nick Fitzy Stevens will be anchoring that program. This is Ken and Curtis. But Fitzy helped us out with a scoop earlier.
Big scoop.
Yep. We were unsure about the status of two of the four starting offensive linemen of the Patriots in question. Fitzy says they are out, right, Nick? They're gone. The COVID guys will not play tomorrow.
That's the intel I have, boys. Good afternoon. How are you? Welcome to your Sports Saturday. Nice job anchoring the 4 hours of manic sports magic that is Boston sports scene right now. Is there ever been, by the way, a friend of mine texted me a little while ago and said, has there ever been a more manic scene in so much as the Red Sox went the emotional roller coaster this week? Like, we're down, but we're up over the Brady returns game and Mac playing well, but losing on the 56-yard doink. Then we're up with the Red Sox absolutely just pushing the Yankees around. Then we're down because they look so terrible on Thursday night against the Rays. And now we're up maybe as high as I've ever heard. I've never heard the two of you so damn positive. And I'm with you, Curtis. Ken does turn into like a giddy child on his third cotton candy whenever he talks or watches baseball.
It's amazing.
It's unbelievable. It really, he gets that fat kid in front of the ice cream truck with a 20 in his hand high that we all chase in this life.
Except when Barnes came in last night. God, was that a painful night.
Oh, my God.
I've seen Ken smile twice. One is when the Red Sox win, and the other is during Rachel Maddow's show.
And, of course, every time the forecast comes true, it's like, oh, it was going to rain. It actually is.
But your friend's text omitted a big key that adds to the roller coaster effect of this week.
What's that?
You had the Sunday night. Everybody felt good. Mac's great. Then you had the Red Sox Tuesday, which is awesome. Big win. But Wednesday, I think it was. My brain isn't working perfectly well. But the Stephon Gilmore trade was a real kick in the pants.
Right.
And then you had game one, which sucked. Right. And then game two last night, which in the bottom of the first, I think a lot of people may have turned the TV off and said, I'm effing done. And then all of a sudden you have the comeback win.
Yeah. Like, Curtis, I've been prone to such emotional swings myself over the past couple of weeks, too. Like, just I remember like the catharsis of the Adele promo for Sunday Night Football and standing in my kitchen that Monday and asking myself, like, you big blank, are you really sitting in here crying watching a football promo by yourself in the kitchen? I was, and I was comfortable with it. And at the same time, last night, I almost cut my left hand off because I was making a late supper for me and the lady friend, and JD Martinez, Jumbo Dong, just absolutely crushed it over center field, and I leapt up in the air with a knife in my hand. I couldn't control it, like, this is such a wild time. And I thought, you know, I thought we were going to kind of level off for a while. Like, I didn't think that the Boston sports scene could be prone to such like crazy peaks and valleys. But, you know, because basically, like you've been saying, Curtis, for the longest time, like with Brady went all, you know, he took all the magic down to Tampa Bay. And basically what carried us to 12 duck boat rides over the first 20 years was gone. Right. Now, I don't know if you guys saw this last night, but there's a restaurant in Tampa called Columbia 1905 who absolutely just got dragged online last night because they tweeted out something like, we took your Tommy, we took your Gronky, we took game one, and we're coming for all of your mojo, Boston. Like, we're going to try to come for the Celtics and the Bruins as well. My God, I have never seen. But if there's one thing Boston unites behind, it's the marathon, a good steak tip, and anyone who says that their city is better than Boston.
Two Belichick questions for you, Fitz.
Talk to me.
First of all, the 4th-and-2 decision and the Gilmore trade itself. Do you defend Bill on both decisions?
4th-and-2 was 2009 against the Colts, and I still say it was the wrong move.
Oh, really?
And also, Kevin Falk made the line of scrimmage, but that's okay.
So you think they should have thrown it?
Oh, you mean we're talking last Sunday, 4th and 3.
Fourth and three. See how annoyingly specific
a Pat's honk like me can be. Curtis is probably smiling to your left.
I am.
Okay, good. Thank you. So 4th and 3 last Sunday. Would I have let him go for it? Yes, I would have gone. I would have gone for it. But Ken, we're not talking like it was 100%. You had to go for it. And how dare he try a 56-yarder? He was banging him from 58 in pregame. He had made 34 straight. I know at the same time, okay, but then you would have given Tom Brady a chance to really rip our heart out and squash it in the rain, 58 seconds left and 2 timeouts, so he could have done Tom Brady things, which he made a career of doing for 17 years at the Razor. So I still think they should have gone for it. The most painful thing, Ken, isn't just the final score. It's when you see screen caps, like Evan Lazar tweeted out, of how wide open Jakobi Meyers was on that 3rd and 3 pass.
Yeah.
Oh, my. He would have gotten 10 yards. They would have bled the clock. They would have kicked the final field goal, and it would have been amazing. I'm not sure if you guys discussed this, though, before I get to your other point, Ken. Did you guys wonder what Tom Brady would we have gotten? Because, you know, we got the effusive and emotionally ebullient Tom Brady afterwards, blowing kisses to everyone, and we felt like there was some closure with his time in New England and officially being in Tampa. What Tom Brady would we have gotten if the Patriots had won? Would he have been so emotionally magnanimous?
No, petulant child as he's been the last 2 years. I mean,
right?
Petulant child as he's been the last 2 years.
I mean, that's true.
Hey, Fitzy, I'm just going to blow by that.
No, but second part.
But Curtis, it's a legitimate question. Do you think Tom Brady would have talked about how much he loves New England and how great it was and maybe actually coming back? If he got kicked in the junk by Folk, or if the Patriots actually won that game at the end, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it would have been an entirely different Tom. Totally.
Okay.
I asked him about Gilmore. I had a 2-part question.
I can't hate the face of the Gilmore trade anymore. Hate it. Hate it with the passion of 10,000 burning suns.
Don't you know that they had to do that to get Jamie Collins?
Did you read Tom E. Curran? Curran laid it out beautifully this week, Fitzy.
What did Tommy say?
Honk, honk, honk.
Not a big deal. I mean, not anywhere in the realm of, the Deion Branch, Randy Moss, the litany of stars that were let go.
Randy Moss?
Moss trade worked out beautifully because the offense was in transition. He was bitching for a new contract. And while we were all shocked, he had a succession plan. J.C. Jackson's very good. But you don't – what bothers me the most, boys, is – Belichick borrowed from 2021 to appease Gilmore in 2020. He gave in to him, which signaled to all of us with big orange runway cones that Gilmore was done after 2020. And Gilmore so much knew it that he put his own house for sale. It was on the market last year in the middle of the 2020 season. Now, I know the injury probably mired his plans to completely move on from him.
That's huge.
But still, a damaged asset at that point has to be worth more than an NFC South's team that's actually on the rise, 2023 sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
That's the best you could do for someone who, when in shape and healthy, is inarguably a top-8 cornerback in the league. I just don't and like I heard you guys say earlier, and a similar drum has been beaten all week, and it's really going to bother us when it happens, Carolina's going to recoup a better compensatory pick unless they actually resign him.
God, you are on point today, Mr. Fitzy. One quick thing here for you, because I think I can add on your initial point. I wish I would have thought of it maybe 3 hours ago. But I think the big reason why we're having this sort of roller coaster period here, Nick, is that I can't remember a time where we didn't know who teams were in this town. Like, we knew when Brady and Bill were together, they were going to be in the AFC Championship. It was only going to be a question of could they win it all.
Correct.
And with the Red Sox, in the 2000s, we knew that they were going to be playing the Yankees or they were going to be, contending for World Series. But right now, the transition period of the Red Sox, finding them in a very surprising 90-win campaign, now 2 wins away from the ALCS, is shocking. Mm-hmm. The Patriots playing back and forth, a close, tight game, winnable game against Tom Brady's in his return. We don't know who the Patriots are, especially now where they have 4 offensive linemen out. I feel like that we are watching teams become something different for the first time in a really long time. I don't think that there have been more question marks and unknowns when it comes to the 4 teams here in a long time.
Back to me limply clapping at that silly restaurant in the Tampa area about, coming for your identity and stealing the mojo and the magic. Fourier's had a great point on the afternoon show for a while, which is the oft-overlooked element of Tom Brady being not only what we all pointed to as our North Star in Boston as the greatest sports city over the past two decades, but also being the eraser. Like every mistake Belichick made or every somebody he moved on from too quickly and talent deficit that he left the team at, Tom Brady was the difference. And that was the identity not only of that team, but the city for so long. Now he leaves and there's a deficit of leadership, of talent, of star power and heat. And the Patriots, as they try, as we all thought they were going to be like a power running team with what we hoped would be like Garoppolo adjacent quarterback talent from young Mac Jones. We have no idea. This is my big thing, Curtis. I have no idea what this team does well. Tell me right now on the surface, quick look at the Patriots. What kind of team are they? What are they? They don't really run the ball well. Forget about the fact that 80% of the starting offensive line is out tomorrow. They cover really well. The front seven is slower than expected because Van Noy, Hightower, and company haven't returned to form.
Van Noy, what the hell?
I'll put this out here right now. I wouldn't be surprised if he is not on the roster by week 18.
Wow.
I would not be
surprised. Seems like a place they could have saved some money, especially they were bringing in a linebacker.
I just don't know what the Patriots really do well right now. The Boston TE Party 2.0.
They completed 19 passes in a row, so it's the short passing game.
Bill's interviews on the Greg Hill Show have been pretty good.
better than expected, and I like the fact that he responds. I wouldn't say that those are gotcha style questions that you ask him, but I think he's respecting your question karate at this point now, Curtis, which is good to see because it adds a little spice to the interview. This texter, Bill, in the 413 says,
now,
you don't go to the huddle
Bill,
up more often.
I played tight end with you 30 years ago. What do you think about talk about it?
Oh, my God. God bless Wiggy.
Did you?
Side note, by the way, I can't tell you how many times of all the things people either say to me, yell at me in complimentary or critical fashion at the tailgates. Do you know what finishes every week consistently in the top five? People yelling out to me, hey, tell Wiggy to make more sense Monday morning. Like I have control over that. You want to talk about just riding bareback on a wild Mustang? Get out of here.
Hey, thank you for that drop. That'll be in the open Monday. That's tremendous. What's coming up on the Fitzy and Mego Spectacular? One to four.
Three more hours of sports radio comfort and companionship for all the moms and dads out there going from lacrosse to soccer, coming home from picking apples and orchards and all the other action. Mego wants to give Bill a little bit of business about what she's calling the running back kennel and how she's not happy with Bill doghousing these guys when they obviously need some talent. We're going to look at the Chris Sale thing. And wonder aloud if he's actually going to get another shot, plus continue to ride the wave, the highs and lows for a couple hours. It's going to be all Sox, all Pats, all Fitzy and Mego, 1 to 4. Don't you go anywhere or change that dial.
Thank you, Nick. Looking forward to it, buddy.
Take care, Fitzy.
Boys. Have a good one.
Curtis, I will see you Monday at the Capitol Grill.
Capitol Grill Marathon Monday, a huge Monday. We will be reacting to Game 3 of the ALDS, Pats-Texans, and getting ready for Game 4 that afternoon.
And don't forget, Bradfo and Peralta are on today, 4 to 6, and tomorrow they are live at the Cask and Flagon 1 to 3, presented by Budweiser, the Major League beer. Nick LePan produced. We appreciate it. Fitzy and Mego next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.